Thank you for tuning in to The Light of Conscience, where the knowing that exists where thoughts do not lights the way. Subscribe to stay inspired. The best compliment you can give us is to share this with a friend. You can also leave a rating, write a review to help others find us. The more the merrier in the light of conscience.
Love itself is molding us into what we be. Why wait for tomorrow when right now we can be free? So break down your defenses and throw away your shield and give yourself this moment to believe in what you feel.
Today we are talking to intuitive spiritual teacher Sally Wilton. She focuses on Akashic Records, distance energy healing, manifestation, and teaching on connecting to spirit. I'm so excited for you to meet Sally. Welcome to the podcast, Sally.
Thank you so much.
Did I hit everything in that little intro?
Yes, you did.
Oh, awesome.
Great job.
Thank you. So I am really curious to know, before we even begin, what made you realize that you're a way shower, and how does that show up for you in your life?
Well, I've always been somewhat intuitive. Even when I was younger, I was very interested in things, you know, everything about intuitive, spiritual, that type of thing. And it wasn't until later on, you know, I worked in business and graphic design and even marketing for a while. And I still do that work. But my husband at the time was in the military, and he had a lot of chronic health issues, as you can imagine, as a result of being in the military. And I had some chronic health issues, and I started looking into alternative means to heal them. So, you know, I started looking into acupuncture, chiropractic, and I had never really looked into them, but I had gotten more into nutritional supplements, and, you know, I was on some medications that I knew weren't good for me, and I was really tired of taking them, and the medical community didn't really have answers. And these weren't major health issues, but, you know, they were kind of long-term, and, you know, the medication was just medication. It wasn't fixing the issues. And I came across an energy healing technique where, and one of the issues was I had some issues with my spine, the chronic muscle tension, bulging disc in my neck, you know, that kind of thing. And I came across a technique from Donna Eden Energy Medicine where you tap a hairbrush on your shoulder and it releases excess muscle tension. Well, it worked. And, you know, I had been on several medications, muscle relaxers and, you know, different things, and it worked. So here I am thinking, wow, I didn't need to take a medication for that. So it really got my attention. I actually went and studied Donna Eden Energy Medicine for a little bit, but because my husband at the time was in the military, you know, we were moving around, so I couldn't really do hands-on work. So the investment in the certification just didn't seem to make sense. So I started looking at other avenues, you know, where I could learn more about spirituality and potentially do some energy healing work. And I learned about Akashic Records work, and I got into distance energy healing that way. I studied a few modalities in distance energy healing, like the body code, soul realignment. I studied a few different Akashic Records certifications, methods of using the Akashic Records for research and healing, and started doing work with clients. And I worked actively on my intuition. I've been working on it actively for 8 years since I started doing this work. So that, you know, when I work with clients, I make sure that I'm getting them very clear guidance specific to them. You know, there's different points of access when an intuitive reads someone, and you can read the person, or you can get guidance, spiritual guidance from their spirit guide, to make sure that the information that you're giving them is clear and accurate and actually helps them achieve what they want. So I've worked really hard at making sure that the guidance I give them is clear and it helps them along their path, not just tells them what they want to hear. So as I became clearer at doing intuitive work, I started to teach it, because I'm very big into empowering my clients. I want them to be able to get their own guidance. I want them to be able to help themselves. So they're not coming to me every 5 minutes for something. That's not my goal.
That is amazing. If I can, would you be able to tell us a little bit more about what Akashic Records are? I don't know that all the listeners are going to know what that means.
So the Akashic Records is this giant energetic database of any person, place, or thing that has ever existed. And that's a very blanket definition, just a blanket statement about what they are. The Akashic Records is essentially the flow of everything. The Akasha is the term for the energy flow of everything. That's where the Akashic Records comes from, the term. Like I said, it's a giant energetic database, so you access this source of information, but it's really just a flow of energy that contains information within it. So you can go and find out just about anything you want to know there. When people access the Akashic Records, it looks kind of like a library to most people, and you have a soul history there. Your soul has a history there. You would go into the Akashic Records and you're going to look for your soul history. Or if you're helping other people, you would access their soul history. So some people, it's like opening up a book. Some people might sit down in front of a computer screen. You know, it's whatever metaphor works for you. But really what you're accessing is a flow of information, historical information about a person's past experiences. You can also access potential outcomes, probable outcomes for future occurrences. Now, the future is not set in stone. It's constantly changing and modifying, but there are ways to access potential outcomes. And that's another thing that I can do for people as well. You know, when someone comes to me and they're having an issue and it's a repetitive pattern that keeps showing up, I can go into the Akashic Records. I can look at their energy field intuitively, and I can find out what the source of that issue is. Go back to where it is, explain to them why it's occurring and when it began, and potentially do some healing for it. There's different points of access. You know, the Akashic Records is really part of everyone because it's the flow of energy that's contained within all things. So it's really within you. This is why I'm such a big proponent of teaching people to go within themselves to get their own inner guidance.
Wow, that was a really amazing description. I have heard about the Akashic Records, and one of my friends also works with them, but that made it really clear for me, and I can sort of grasp it a little bit more. And I think it's something that, like you said, it's a flow of energy, and you can't really quote-unquote grasp energy, but you made it really easy to understand, at least for me, and I really appreciate that. I also really appreciate how you said that the future is always changing. So I think that some people almost get addicted, and I want to talk about addiction with you because I know it's something that you really work with. But it's almost like we get addicted to like psychic readings and outside help, like tarot cards and angel cards and stuff. And those are awesome tools, but they're not, you know, you don't need them, is my point, I guess, is you can actually access all the information that you need right in the center of your own self. And
correct.
I love that you help teach that to people.
Right. And I mean, meditation is one of the best ways to do that, to go within, whether it's, you know, there's different types of meditation. You have active meditation where you're, you know, doing some sort of repetitive task, whether it's washing the dishes or taking a shower or driving the car. And you can kind of zone out enough to get information. Passive meditation is where you're sitting and, you know, you actively try to meditate. And, you know, it's a way of going within. You know, ideally, you want to try to go within for your own guidance. If you go, the problem with going to other people too intuitive is that you don't know whether they're reading you and your energy field or getting guidance from what I refer to as your spirit guide team. Your team of spirit guides, and this isn't necessarily tied into the Akashic Records, but anytime I do a call with someone or I do a reading for them, I'm always connected to their spirit guide team. And this is one of the biggest topics that I teach on, because everyone has a spirit guide team. You start with one spirit guide that you choose before you come into this life, and they're your birth to death guides. So they're there from the time you're born until the time you die. Now, as you go along and you make choices and you take actions along your path, you hire essentially more guides. those guides support you in your path, whatever it is you're here to achieve, what you've chosen to come into this life to do, to fulfill your purpose. And when we talk about purpose, it's essentially being who you are. Fulfilling your path through your purpose is the thing that you do. Your purpose is the thing that you are, who you are. It's your to be. This is who I am. And so the more you are aligned with your purpose, the more you are expressing yourself for who you are at a soul level. Your path is just how you go about fulfilling it. Your spirit guides are there as a team to support you and guide you along the fulfillment of your path. They want to make sure that you stay on your path and that you fulfill the things that you came to fulfill. If you get too far off your path, they'll kind of nudge you back on your path. I'm always connecting to someone's spirit guides to get guidance for them, because that's the guidance that they need to get from point A to point B. And usually they're stuck at point A and they want to get to point B. You know, the soul can come through and have an expression as well. So if you feel like an urge to do something, then your soul will oftentimes express that urge to do something as a push you along your path type of action. Those are the two areas that I'll go for guidance the most. But the most objective guidance, the most non-emotional objective guidance, comes from your spirit guide team.
Sally, this is so fascinating. My cat really wants attention right now, and he is making me mute my microphone and making me like scared that he's about to attack me. So give me a minute. I'll be right back. I'm going to put a chair down and hopefully he sits on it. Okay. So, wow. First of all, it's just so amazing to me and incredibly interesting. Do you have any particular, you said that meditation is the best way pretty much to tune in for your own inner guidance. If people are having a really difficult time just sitting and meditating and, you know, they want to get guidance, and I feel like the want to receive it is almost a hindrance to receiving it sometimes, but do you have any tips or techniques that you share with your clients that you would be willing to share on the podcast for people who want to try to meditate and get some guidance, but they've just not had any luck?
A lot of people that come to me, you know, it's not always as simple as meditating, like what you're describing. Sometimes we have blocks in our energy field that prevent spiritual communication from occurring. And those are what we call negative energy. You know, we have positive energy and negative energy. Well, negative energy is one of the things I work on clearing, essentially, from clients that I work with. Healing the energy field, you know, energy wants to flow. That's what it does. Energy comes to and it goes away from us, and it's constantly flowing and moving. If there is a block between you and the flow of energy with something negative that shouldn't be there, and that would be something along the lines of maybe a negative attachment or, you know, an imprint from past experiences, from maybe some trauma when you were younger, or something even from a past life that would put something in between the positive flow of energy and your physical body or your physical energy system, then that's something that can prevent spiritual communication from occurring. From everything that I've seen, the human nervous system is the main point of spiritual communication. If you think about how many nerves run through your body, there are a lot. So the nervous system is your body's communication system within itself. When you talk about communication with your environment directly around you, you're also talking about the nervous system. It's what senses your environment around you at a very basic level. But it's also what sends and receives, at least as far as what I've seen intuitively, it's also what sends and receives spiritual communication. So if the nervous system is blocked with negative energy, which I've seen happen many, many times, and it's one of the main focuses I work on when I work on clearing someone, clearing out the nervous system. Because if your body's communication system with the world around you is your nervous system, it's going to be the first thing that takes on negative energy, whether it's from your environment or just, you know, food or toxins or whatever it is. The nervous system is really heavily affected. So it's really important to keep your nervous system healthy and allowing positive energy flowing in and out of it. That's the biggest point of communication for spiritual communication. And it's one of the things that helps the meditation work better, so that when you sit down and go within for guidance, it's a lot clearer. You know, it's a couple of sessions of me working on someone, and it helps open up spiritual communication, whether it's working on the chakras, like the third eye or the throat chakra. Those are points of focus when I'm working on someone to improve intuitive communication. And it's usually not a lot of things blocking it. But, you know, there can be something. Some people don't have any issues with that, and some people do. But it's usually not that detailed of a thing to fix.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense, actually, with things that I've learned about the nervous system as well, that really is our channel to pretty much everything. And that includes the spiritual
realm. And you think about the nervous system connects into the chakra system. That's where they intersect.
Okay.
So, you know, those bundles of nerves are where the chakras sit. And so that's really the connection between the physical and the spiritual, at least in my opinion and what I've seen.
Wow, that's so cool. Can we shift a little bit now to talking about addiction? Do you work a lot with addiction?
I have recently. You know, it wasn't so much. I worked on it a little bit here and there over the years, but more recently it's been a lot more. I started studying shamanism recently and soul retrieval, and, you know, I already had some form of that I was doing, but I started looking more at traditional methods of healing, more things that are grounded in research and things like that. You know, there's a lot of spiritual teachings that are very popular on the market, but they're not necessarily grounded in historical research data. And so the more traditional I think we can go with the healing, the more grounded it's going to be and the more effective it's going to be. And it's also the more attention it will get, which is more needed. You know, it's a lot better alternative to go to something like acupuncture than it is to go take a medication. So I think the more grounded in, you know, history and what really works, the better off we'll all be in terms of spirituality. As far as addiction, you know, when I have a new topic come up that needs to be worked on, you know, we sign up for these things spiritually. At a spiritual level, we choose to work on these different things and share that information for the world, because we are the conduit for the information to flow through when we go on the spiritual path. And so when I came back to the area, I moved back to Southern Maryland, and, you know, going through some of the things that I have been, and I reconnected with some friends, and the topic of addiction has just been coming up left and right. So I learned a lot about healing it very quickly. But the interesting thing was, is that it connected everything I had been studying, whether it was nutrition, how the brain works, neurotransmitters, how the endocrine system works, how the nervous system works, all of these things that I had been studying for so long at a personal level and applying to my work started to connect back to healing addiction. And so I learned some techniques for healing it very quickly that seemed to be very effective.
What is the spiritual purpose behind addiction?
Well, at a soul level, we choose our experiences. So this is a theory heavily grounded in reincarnation and the fact that we are physical beings having a spiritual experience, or however you really want to put that. I mean, the other way too, you can look at that as spiritual beings having a physical experience. But either way, the soul comes into the body to learn certain things. We choose this life before we come into it. We choose the lessons that we are going to take on. The spiritual purpose behind addiction that I've seen is to learn and grow from it. But, you know, those who've chosen the path of addiction, whether it's to, you know, experience the addiction themselves or be part of a family where they're affected by addiction, or to go on to heal those that have a problem with addiction, it's a path with a great purpose, because it takes a really strong person to go through that path and come through it on the other side. It's a path of growth. It's a path of learning, but above and beyond everything else, it's a path to go on to help others. So to take your experience that was so terribly negative and to turn it into something positive where you can go and help others, because addiction has become such a huge problem. Those that are addicted need help. And who best is that going to come from but someone who's gone through the path of addiction already and knows how to come through it on the other side. So to me, the spiritual purpose behind addiction is to go on to help others to stop it.
Got it. And addiction is really, you can be addicted to almost anything. Is that true? I feel like we all have something that we're probably at least a little bit addicted to, but for myself, I don't really have an addictive personality. Like, you know, some people will start watching a TV series or something and they like have to follow through and they have to watch every single show. And I'm like, you know, I could watch a few or even like all of them except for the last one and I just wouldn't care. Does that make sense?
Right. And I think that, you know, everyone's physical and genetic makeup is different in terms of addiction. And stress is a huge factor in addiction and how well we have coping mechanisms. But from what I've seen, there are some people that can go do all the same things and not end up addicted, or they can control and stay in balance. To me, addiction itself is just when you, and you're going to have days where you're super stressed out and you're going to have days where you get out of balance. Some people take that to an extreme and then it becomes an addiction. The question, and to me, the goal is how do you get yourself back in balance? And I think that's the difference between someone who I would term as an old soul versus a young soul. Certain souls, you know, obviously have had more lifetimes and more incarnations, so they all already have more life experience. The older souls, to me, I think have something already within them to where they know how, if they get out of balance, to get themselves back in balance. And I think that's where the difference lies. I think the younger souls, they're going to have a harder time with addiction because there's all these new and amazing things that they can go try and they'll take it to an extreme. And those are the ones I think that struggle the most, at least, you know, from what I've seen. But you have to look at the genetic makeup, the components of the physical body, you know, the environment. There's a lot of different factors there too. But I think the older souls, we're here to show the way. Like when you talk about being a way shower, we've done this so many times that that's what we're here to do. We're here to, you know, create a safe space for those younger souls to grow and learn and heal.
That was a really beautiful way of putting way shower. Thank you for including that in there. And it really made sense to my head too. I'm really loving this interview because the clarity with which you speak is for me really refreshing. Do you have, so say somebody's addicted and they know they are and they want help. You mentioned that sometimes nutrition can help and then energy healing can actually help addiction as well. Would you mind sharing how those things help?
Well, you know, from an energy healing perspective, I think, you know, it's working on balancing the body, whether it's the nervous system, the endocrine system, balancing the stress response, I think is the first thing. Then, you know, you look at nutrition, there's a lot of information where they're now using nutrition, specifically proteins and amino acids, to treat addiction, because what's happened is that the neurotransmitters have gotten out of balance in the body. When your body breaks down protein, it does so in the gut, and then it produces the neurotransmitters that go on to feed the brain. If you're not breaking down enough protein, you're not feeding your brain enough, and then your brain starts searching for the dopamine or the serotonin, whatever it is, and then that can be sometimes where the addiction starts. So looking at nutritional imbalances in the body, it can help stop addiction patterns. Now, when you have, from an energy healing perspective, when you have traumatic experiences, we can lose parts and pieces of ourselves. And this is where things like a soul retrieval will come in. And that's a shamanism term. You know, in the Akashic Records work and the soul clearing that I do, there's something called a soul restoration. It's all kind of the same concept. It's bringing back lost pieces of yourself to you, making yourself whole again. And that's essentially what energy healing is really designed to do. make you whole again, bring you back to who you are, help you remember who you are. And doing something like a soul retrieval or soul restoration, soul clearing, to clear out damage in the soul or past experiences, clear out damage in the energy system, bring in positive energy to allow the healing to occur, you're bringing yourself back into balance. And balance is really where you need to be so that the addiction patterns don't occur. It's when we get out of balance that we want to go do that thing, you know, overeat the chocolate or have the cigarette or drink too much or whatever it is.
Wow. Everything, I love it. the clarity, the wisdom, you've really embodied, to me, you've really, I don't want to say embodied your purpose, because I think all of us, we've already embodied our purpose. Our purpose was like with our soul and entered into this reality with us, but you've really let go of any blockages that you may have had in place to prevent you from living your purpose. And I just feel like really every step you're taking is on purpose. You might have some.
It's not always an easy task to let go of all that stuff, but you're right. It is very much about, you know, helping others and working on purpose. You know, I'm still working on defining what that looks like. I'm in the middle of working on a book and, you know, going back to public speaking to speak on these topics, because even though the energy healing is what heals, getting the information out to people is almost more valuable, because if you can start the wheels turning with someone that they can heal. A lot of people think it's hopeless and they can't heal. But when someone realizes there is a potential for someone to heal, there is a potential for them to heal from their experiences, that there's a reason that these things occurred, then they will start to seek the healing. And a lot of times the healing will just show up, and it doesn't matter what form that comes in, whether it's something that I do or if it's just going to the doctor. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, but just finding the healing and the potential and being open to that, that starts them on an entirely new path. And that's really what we're here to do, share the information.
That was so well said. And it makes so much sense to me. I just, like you said, yes, the energy healing is what actually works, but right, that can come in so many different forms, so many, and there just are no limits. But if somebody is not aware that they can heal, then they're not going to. That's just the way the world works. I'm really curious to know if anybody out there that's listening wants to connect with you or work with you with any of these releases or learning about their Akashic records, learning how to get more in tune with their spiritual guides, how can they connect with you?
Well, I've got a couple different websites. The one that talks mostly about addiction, healing addiction, is synergywellness.com, and that's synergywellness.com. And then I have one that talks more about Akashic Records and manifestation and connecting to spirit, which is manifestabundancenow.com.
I have two websites too. I feel like I'm in really good company.
Yeah, they can get a little out of control.
And you're also in the Light of Conscience Facebook group, right? The community.
Correct.
There.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. This is old now, because as of today, I have another request to join, and that makes 100. So I'm going to do a little dance.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're doing great. I'm going to do a little dance because I'm super excited to just gather the way showers. You know, by the time this drops, we're going to have more than that even. So come join us. It's super fun. We can continue this conversation in that group, or you can reach out to Sally. How about, do you have Instagram, or do you want them to reach out to you on Facebook, or is your website?
I'm on Facebook. So that's probably the best way to get me.
So find Sally in the Light of Conscience community. We will continue this conversation. And I just have to say, Sally, thank you so much for bringing yourself here to share all of this information and wisdom. I am kind of mind blown, and I love being mind blown.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Wow, all that nervous system talk got me so excited to offer Kundalini Yoga again online. You can do it from anywhere and it's live. And you can also have access to the videos if you can't make the class. So give me a text or a email or join Club LC or find me in the Light of Conscience community on Facebook. Just do something so that you can experience this amazing tool that completely energizes, resets, rebalances your nervous system. It's one of my favorite things. It's been the most influential thing in my spiritual journey, and I hope you can join us somehow. I mentioned Club LC. You always hear me talk about it because it's my baby and I love it. It is where your spiritual growth is number one, along with other people who also feel the same way. So if you want more information, check us out at bit.ly/club LC. Make sure LC is capitalized for my name and for Light of Conscience. I love you all. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. And I hope you enjoyed the birds chirping in the background here. Bye. And don't give up on your life. Your dreams give hope and offer love. To live.